and this is my testimony. I wasn't born into a Christian home. Growing up, I never really had a Christian role model until my grandma and grandpa started picking me up for church on Sundays. This is when I started to hear the word of God. I eventually joined Awana. I was about 6 years old when I was led to the Lord in a previous church. We changed churches, and this is where I was baptized. During my time at the previous church, my father made me take band and do sports. I thank God every day with the abilities and skills he has given me. Eventually, as time passed, God has been working on my heart and guiding me along my Christian path. Whatever God wants from me, I'll do it.
Praise the Lord for that. Amen and amen. I want to encourage you tonight. I want to show you my list of notes. This is what I've got this evening, and that doesn't mean anything, but I'm so thankful. I am so thankful. Look up in here, young people. Look up here. Y'all did a good job. Oh, y'all did a good job. Man. Jacob, did you play that first song? Was that your good job on that, young man? And Aaron, thank you for that testimony wherever you went. Aaron, all right, there you are. Thank you for that. And praise God for that. I love teenagers. I literally love teenagers. I love teenagers. People often ask me, when are you going to get out of the teen business? And hopefully I never do. I love teenagers. This group of teens right here, we've got them throughout, but this group of teens right here can literally set the world on fire for the Lord. They really can. They really can. They can set the world on fire for God. We have no earthly doubt. I know it's preaching about potential this morning, but I'm going to here to tell you right now, sit in this group right here, there's pastors and there's evangelists and there's preachers and missionaries, and there are pastors' wives and missionaries' wives, and praise the Lord, there's doctors and lawyers, and well, we want you to tell the truth, so no politicians, but there's and amen for that. But there really is. I'm telling you, I do not know, again, what God has for these young people. I see glimpses from time to time. I see getting around them. I see some of their gifts that God has given them, maybe that they don't even see just yet. And I'm telling you, young people, you probably don't see them. But boy, oh, I love teenagers. I always want our church to be a church that embraces teens, that helps them, that helps teens, to be a place where teens can come and get encouraged. if you're not careful, and I've seen it happen, we can adopt the attitude of disdain for teenagers. Sometimes churches do that. Sometimes churches have an attitude towards teenagers, but I've got to tell you, it's not the teenager's fault. Amen. You say, well, they're bad teens. Well, they're being parented. Amen. They're being parented. And so I will say this also. Parents, thank you so much. I'm sure you must be proud tonight in the righteous way. You must be very proud and thankful for what the Lord done and have your kids up here. Thank you for getting them to practice. I know that that was a lot, but it certainly was worth it. I could have listened to you all night. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take the YouTube channel. I'm going to rip those songs off. I'm going to put it on my MP3 player, and I'm going to listen to you sing and make a little playlist from our Christmas special and some of these other things. I love teenagers. When I went to college, my wife and I, of course, we weren't married yet. I don't know what took her so long, but when I went to college, you know, we got there and they said, hey, we need some help in the teen department. And we had what's called a teen church of teens who rode our bus. And they said, we need some help in there. And I walked in and it was kind of chaos. It was the previous gentleman who was running it. He didn't really want to be there in the first place. And teens know when you really don't want to be there with them. And it was chaos. And there was all kinds of the different things going on. And we began to set things in order. And they just stuck me in there with teens. I've been there, and that's now over nearly 20 years, been working with young people. It's been a privilege of my life, and I still love you, and I love you so much. We had a good time in Teen Sunday School this morning, and I am so blessed. Again, I want to say this, church, let's be a church that supports, encourages, and blesses, and loves on teenagers. Amen. These young people are amazing. I'm going to tell you, this is a special group of young people right here. This is a special group. I'm not the expert on youth work, but youth groups, they go in seasons, and you get different flavors from time to time, and we got teens coming up, and we'll see what happens. We have a few moving on. This is a special group of teenagers. Very special. They take rebuke. You can talk to them. When you have to get on their case, they take it. I'm going to tell you something. That's pretty rare. That's pretty rare. They don't sulk and pout on you. And when we ask them to do things, this is a special group of teenagers right here. You say, preacher, you sound a little biased toward them. I am. And I believe in them and I love them so much. And I'm so proud of you and watching you guys grow in the Lord and seeing you mature in the faith. What a blessing. And I praise God for them. We'll not say they're better than any other teenagers in the world, but they're the best teenagers I know. Amen. And I love them dearly. Let's be a church that supports and encourages teenagers. Sometimes I used to travel a little bit and travel around to different churches, and I don't have my lapel on, so I better stay close to the podium tonight. But I used to travel around. He'd walk in, and sometimes I'd be preaching, and a preacher or somebody would say to me, or generally never was the preacher, somebody, you know, a concerned church member who had never invested in their life in the first place, but, you know, had been observing from a distance, let them teens have it tonight. They really have it. Anytime somebody would give me that, I'd let that person have it right in the middle of the service. Amen. I would never say their name, but I'd allude to it. Why? Because I want to tell you something, and I'm not blind. They're sinners. Wait, amen. These kids got flesh like we all do, just like their parents do, just like their pastor does. But I'm telling you something. I have seen places where teens are crushed and they're squashed and they're just constantly rode on and just people on them all the time. Let's just not be that church. Amen. Let's not be that church. And if you say, I see a problem with them, get to love them first. Let them know that you love them first. Build that with them, and then you can talk to them. Amen. But do that. Would you do that as a church? And I just love church. Would you go to teens? Colossians chapter number 1 tonight. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. I want to give you something very, very simple tonight. I have been blessed beyond measure. I held it together pretty good down there. I didn't think I was going to make it that far, but we did okay. What a blessing it is to have these young people in our church. We got more coming up in the youth group. We've got probably some coming out of sixth grade. We've got some boys and some girls. And that's always exciting. They'll be coming. And praise the Lord for that. I don't want to say this in a rude way, but I will tell you this, that when we came here 10 years ago, well, there was some different things going on. We really didn't have any teenagers in our church. Really didn't have them in our church. We had a few here and there, but look what God has done. Look what God has done. God has blessed us so. God has blessed us so. I told them this morning in Sunday school, and you might think it's too much. You might think I'm just always pumping them full of air, but it's just called encouragement. Some people might need to know that. Amen. I said, listen, if you guys are the future of this church, then the future's bright. Amen. The future's bright. Praise the Lord for that. The future's bright. The future's bright. The book of Colossians, I will not give you a deep introduction. It's simply to say that I do not believe Paul had personally been to Colossae. He speaks over in chapter 2, verse 1. He says, I would that you knew what great conflict I have for you for them at Laodicea and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh. This was not a church that I believe as of this writing that Paul had visited, that he had started. He had started many other churches and been instrumental there in seeing people get saved and come to the Lord and helping them get established and give them leadership and different things. But I believe this church is kind of a byproduct of the ministry of Epaphras, and we can argue about different things there. And I simply want to remind you of this. You never know what fruit somebody else is going to have. You may be looking and thinking, I'm teaching this and I'm doing this. You don't know what fruit may abound and what can come out of ministry. Would you say amen? You never know. You never know what will come out of the investment into other people's lives. And so Paul hears of this church in Colossae. In fact, he says in chapter 1, verse number 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and the faithful brethren in Christ which are at Colossae, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God and the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love which you have to all the saints. And this is why I believe Paul had not yet been to Colossae. He had caught wind that God had got a hold of some people and a church had sprung up in Colossae. Colossae in itself was not a very impressive town. There were some others closer to it that had a little more repute, a little more known, but they had some different things going on there. We'll not get into it tonight. But he says, we're going to pray for you since we heard of your faith. He says in verse number 5, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel, which is come unto you as it is in all the world and bringeth forth fruit. How many of you understand that the gospel brings forth fruit? The gospel still brings forth fruit. The gospel still brings forth fruit. That's why we got to stick with the gospel. And it comes. The crop comes. The harvest comes. The Lord is the Lord of the harvest. One plants, one waters, but God gives the increase, but the crop always comes. God has promised that. God has promised. I'm kind of big on that right now. We spent the last couple of weeks on Wednesday nights looking at the crop and the farmer waiting patiently for the harvest. And I'm here to tell you tonight that the crop always comes. Church, we're looking at some teenagers tonight and some youngins, and we're thinking, oh my goodness gracious, what are they going to do? Are they going to burn the world down? Or are they going to turn it on fire for the Lord? You never know, right? But I want to tell you something. The crop will come. The crop will come, and you just be patient. But he says, listen, that gospel brings forth fruit. And church, can I just encourage you tonight? It almost sounds silly to say this. Can we have a little more faith in the preaching of the gospel? Amen. Can we truly recognize that it is the power of God unto salvation? Amen. The gospel still works. The gospel still works. And so Paul said, it brings forth fruit and come unto the world. And also do with you since the day you heard of it. And knew the grace of God in truth. And verse 7 says, and you also learned of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ, who also declared unto us your love in the Spirit. So here it is. Paul does not know this church personally, I believe. He's heard of their love. He's heard of their conversion. He's heard that there's a little group of believers there, and he jots down a note of encouragement to them by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen right there. These aren't simply just Paul's musings. This is what God wanted Paul to say to this church in Colossae. He had not established the church, but he had a sincere love for this church. You can just read this introduction and sense the excitement that Paul had for the church at Colossae. Amen. He was excited about the church at Colossae. Why? Because generally those who are newly saved, those who still got a fresh understanding, a fresh appreciation for the gospel, are the most excited about the gospel. Amen. And so Paul looked at this church and he thought, my oh my, not only am I thankful for the salvation that's come to them, this is a new group of believers, and he was excited and encouraged in their new faith in Christ. Can I always tell you, church, let's always rejoice when somebody comes to the Lord. Amen. Today, by the grace of God, one of our little boys that ride our bus, he invited an adult to church. That adult came to church today and after service made a profession of faith. Amen. Now we'll consider to continue to disciple and love, and Lord willing, see that gentleman follow the Lord in believer's baptism. But that ought to make the church just shout out loud. I'm talking about little boy, no theological training. Amen. No deep background in the things of God. Said, hey, I got a church where you need to go. And an individual came to church. Somebody say amen on that right there. I just want to tell you the gospel works. The gospel still works. Let's not be these type of believers who talk about and think about and act like it's so hard and so difficult and everybody's so bad and things are so horrible. That might be true, but the darker it is, the brighter the light. What an opportunity for the gospel to shine forth, particularly even in this state. Would you say amen? Hey, if there's any place you say, I'd like to be able to stick out, you don't have to try too hard here in this state. All right? Just believe the truth, preach the truth, say the truth, and you'll stick out like a sore thumb. And anyway, what an opportunity. What an opportunity for the gospel. I am so excited personally for what God is doing in this area, what God can do in this area, and the gospel still works. And Paul was excited for this church. Paul had to deal with some things. He had caught wind of also some heresy that was creeping in and this new church. And so he deals with this in this letter. Some of it's called the Colossian heresy. We may take a look at it as a church. I've got a couple of sermons already ready and a sermon series entitled Christ is All I Need. And that's what this book is about. It's all about the sufficiency of Christ. The sufficiency of Christ. Paul's telling this in this letter. He's telling these new believers, truly, Christ is all you need. Don't let anybody mess you up in the simplicity in Christ. Don't let anybody pull you away with vain philosophies and all this other stuff. He says that he's teaching them on the necessity and the sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And so you could say that in this letter here is Paul's abbreviated discipleship program. This is not something that he was able to come and teach people by face, but he said, I'm going to lay you out at the very least. I'm going to lay you out the doctrine of Christ and who the Lord Jesus is. Tucked into the opening of this letter, and we're going to look at it tonight, is a prayer. There is a prayer. I know we sometimes struggle in the things to pray for. Let me encourage you, when you find prayers in the Bible, they are good models. You don't have to vainly repeat them, but they are good models. This prayer is specifically understanding. You need to understand this prayer was inspired by the Holy Ghost. Amen. This was, as Paul writes this down, Paul, God is inspiring him. And tucked in this opening prayer is a prayer that we desperately need to pray for these young people. I want to speak to you tonight on this issue. It's very simple. I will not go very deep with you tonight. I know I probably never do, but I want to speak to you tonight on seven prayers every teen needs prayed for them. Seven prayers every teen needs prayed for them. And I know that this letter was written to a church, and so we could say this is seven prayers every one of us need to pray for each other. Amen. But I want to tell you something. Satan has teens marked. He has teens marked. Why? Because if he can snag them when they're young, get them into destructive and dysfunctional behavior then they can spend the next 20, 30, 40, and maybe 50 years, and maybe even a lifetime trying to crawl out of that. And by the way, God's grace, people can crawl out of it. Amen. They can crawl out of it by the grace of God. But I want to tell you something. It's much better to build young people than to repair adults. And tonight, if you're here this evening and you're thinking, man, I need one of those folks that need repair, you found the right church. Amen. This is a church of repaired people. Praise the Lord for that. But I just want to speak to you tonight. We need, Satan has teens marked. I have never seen more grossness, more lewdness, more satanic, demonic influence and intent to get to the hearts of young people and teenagers before they ever even get a chance to live their lives. People are messed up. They've got things they're dealing with. And I'm telling you something, it is alarming. It should be alarming as a church, as an individual, what they're calling the rise of mental illness amongst teenagers. That should be alarming to you. Why in the prime of youth, when truly this, I'm not saying teens are carefree, but they should almost be carefree. Their biggest worry should be their chores at home. Their chores at home, that should be their biggest problem and different things like that. Not having to deal with all this junk and all the things that are going on. And there is a huge rise in what they're calling mental illness amongst teens. I will tell you what it is. It is satanic oppression. It is Satan coming after the minds to build up strongholds in the lives of these young people and those things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. Why? Because he doesn't want young people thinking about the things of God, about the ways of God. And so there's so much entertainment. And there, yes, I'm sorry to say it tonight, you even have governments and school areas and things and all these different districts conspiring against the authority of parents. there is a conspiracy against the authority, God-honored authority of the parents and of the church. I'm being honest with you right now. I'm not trying to be spooky-wooky with you. This is biblical truth here. Now understand this. There is a conspiracy to usurp the authority of God's authority so that Satan can get to the hearts and minds of young people. Well, recently we went to the doctor and we had a little family checkup and all four of us, and that was really exciting. And the doctor there said, oh, you know, certain things and blah, blah, blah. And then said, when your daughter gets a certain age, then we'll have to get permission for, you know, so the adult to be in, you know, this and that. And I said, over my dead body, there'll be nobody looking and talking to none of my kids without my business in on it. Somebody say, amen. That's my kids. Amen. You're not going to assume the authority on that one right now. Somebody help me out right now. Somebody help me out. And I'm just going to, this is going to be positive. Let me get to it. But you know me, I always got to say something mean before I can get nice, all right? But I want to tell you something. It is easier. I'm going to say this tonight. We got some young ears, and I'm, excuse me for saying it, but it's easier in this state for a teen to get an abortion than it is a job. That's a wicked, wicked society. This is Satan's hands all over it. Amen. You got to pray for these young people. Let me ask you, adults, how many of you, when you were a kid, had internet? No, y'all didn't. You're 80 years old. You did not. Amen. All right. Unless you worked in the Air Force or something like that, or Al Gore, you knew Al Gore or something like that. He supposedly started it. Amen. But I'm telling you, you didn't have it. You didn't have YouTube. You didn't have on-demand filth. And I want to tell you something. It is an amazing, amazing thing, the assault on our young people. The music that is coming out. And we've been, good Bible Christians have been preaching against rock music for years and should still be preaching against it. It's still wicked. It's still wicked. It's not neutral. All right. I understand that not everything's demonic. Come back, help me out right there. All right. You can't look at, if it wasn't sung in church, you know, it's for lurch or whatever like that. You can't sit and say that. So we got to have use some wisdom on that. But I want to tell you, there is a lot of demonic, wicked stuff out there. Peddling. It is the devil's music. It is the devil's music. Hollywood is the devil's, it's the picture into his heart. All the junk that they're told. You know, it's amazing to me. I'm getting off track. It's okay. Every single love story in these teen movies they have, it always starts, it's all common ingredient. I know how it all happens out, but this is a common ingredient. The kids aren't supposed to be together, their authority's against it, but somebody else comes in and encourages it. Against all odds, they end up together, grow off in rebellion, and they live happily ever after. False. That's not the way it works. It's not the way it works. I'm just telling you, there is a demonic conspiracy against these uns right here. Please forgive my English, but it's right. Against these youngins turning out for the Lord. It's there. You better pray for him. The devil walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. May devour. I love our young people. Sometimes they may wonder why we so intensely preach at him and talk to him. It's simply this. It's not so much the intensity's on them. It's around them. Satan is after them, and you've got to pray. You've got to pray for these young people. You've got to pray for them. So I want to give you very simply tonight, 7 prayers every teen needs prayed for them. It's going to come straight from the text. No alliteration tonight. You can go back and reread these things. We'll go through them as briefly but as clearly as we need to. And I'm going to ask you, church, to do something. I know you do not know all of their names. If one of you adults can stand and give me all of the names of these kids tonight, besides Brother Mike and Miss Camellia, all right, then we'll give you a sucker after church. My wife has them over there, all right? You probably cannot name all of them by name. That's okay, but you got their faces. You can go back on YouTube. I took a little picture of them today. I'm always doing that. I'm not putting it on social media. I took a little picture on my phone today of my teen class. It's so I can pray for them by face and by name. And so I can do that. I'm sincerely coming before you tonight as your pastor, as your fellow laborer, as your brother in Christ, and asking you to enter into an intercessory prayer ministry for the youth of our church. You can do this. You may never teach them in a class. You may never chaperone on an activity. But you can pray for them. Paul said, I can't be with you, but I can pray for you. And that's better than being with them. I'm going to really ask you sincerely tonight if you will make a commitment as a church. I'm going to have you sign anything. I'm not going to have you come forward. And I'm just going to ask you, would you commit to intercessory prayer for these young people? Amen. I had people praying for me as a young man. People praying for me. They'd tell me, and I knew it. I had prayer warriors in my life. I had a lady by the name of Granny Sue. Cancer took her, but she gave this old world a good whopping for the Lord, amen, before she left. And she prayed. She prayed for me. Loma Borders prayed for me. Shirley Boyd prayed for me. Steve Pam Treese prayed for me. Gerald Shirley Boyd prayed for me. Dan and Barbara Harold, Dan's gone on to heaven, prayed for me. I'm here today. Yes, my parents invested, but I was surrounded by a church of people who prayed for me. They'd take me by the hand and just say, I'm praying for you. And I'd bristle at it because I knew my life wasn't what it was supposed to be. But at the same time, I thought, man, they're praying for me. Amen. That was a blessing. Would you enter into intercessory prayer for these young people? I'm going to give you 7 prayers tonight from the Word of God that you got to pray for every single team in our church and our young people. Father, help us now look at these things. We'll not go deep into them. They're deep enough on their own. Father, if anything, I would ask that this would, in a certain way, without being too formal about it, it would be a mechanism by which our church enters into prayer for each of our young people. Lord, we're thankful for each of them. Some of them are homeschooled, and some of them are in Christian school, and some of them are in public school. But regardless of whatever they are in school, I know that Satan has designs on their life. He's marked them, Lord. Anytime a young person would get up and sing praises to your name, Father, that's a dangerous weapon. A person who will praise you and live for you, they are a dangerous weapon in your hands, Father. And so Satan will seek to destroy their life and ruin their life. And Father, I pray that tonight as a church, we would saturate these young people. Lord, our whole church, but as we speak tonight, when thinking of our young people, we'd saturate these young people in prayer. We'd put a hedge, Lord, and help them being under a hedge of protection of prayer from brothers and sisters in Christ that love them. And so, Lord, help us see some things very simple tonight. We love you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Look with me in verse number 9. Verse number 9, we'll begin. We'll just go through these tonight, and my goal is to have you out before midnight. I was going to say before dark, but amen, that'll be 9 o'clock or something like that. For this cause, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire, number one, that you might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So let me give you just very simple tonight, straight from the text. Well, how do we pray for young people? You pray, number one, that they learn to discern the will of God for their life. They learn to discern the will of God for their life. When I was a young person, sometimes I'd go to these youth conferences and the will of God was almost spoken of as like this kind of mysterious thing that only the upper echelon of, but that's not what Paul wouldn't have said to pray for it. If God wants you to know His will more than you do. Amen. See, it's not the issue of knowing God's will, it's the problem, it's the issue of discerning it. Romans chapter 12 and 1 says, and 2 says, our minds have to be renewed so that we can understand and prove the will of God. So when you're praying for a young person that they might discern the will of God for their life, you are praying that God keeps their minds clean, their minds pure, that they're able to communicate with God through the Spirit of God, through the Word of God. Give me an amen on that one right there. That they are able to discern what God wants specifically for their life. Some of our young men have already answered the call to preach, and perhaps some of them will as well. And I will tell you this tonight. Are you trying to turn out a batch of preachers? I'm trying to turn out, and you know what I'm saying by that, with you parents, we're trying to turn out just people who do the will of God. I will be as happy with a young man who is called to be, you might think I'm joking, but I'm not. I'll be as happy with a young man who feels called to be a dog catcher as one to be a preacher if it's the will of God for their life. I really will. I'm just telling you that right now. We don't have a class system in this church where the ones that go off to Bible college are better than the ones that didn't. Amen. We don't have that. Not everybody belongs there. Some are called there. It's a great opportunity, a good idea for maybe everybody to prayerfully consider it. But I want to tell you something. Just because they're not called to ministry doesn't mean God hasn't called them and directed them in their life. And as a church, let me just stop here and say this one. I didn't grow up in a church like this, and so I don't want our church to be like this. Let's not sit there and separate the winners from the losers, those that did this and those that did not, to what we preconceive that they should be. Somebody amen on that one right there? Let's support them. Let's support them. I don't want ever, you might be thinking I'm being silly right here, but if they go off to Bible college, that means they're going to have to leave here. I don't want everybody leaving here. Amen. I want to be around here. Amen. I love them. I love them. And we'll start our own Bible Institute right, with all the room we don't have. But the bottom line is this. We want to pray that they discern the will of God for their life. they discern the will of God for their life. I cannot tell you story after story after story of young person who has, God has called them, they've had some direction, but because of sin or influence of other people, they got off track on the out of the will of God for their life, and today their lives are simply shells of what they could have been because they never discovered and lived out and discerned the will of God for them. There are specific things in the Bible speaks, that are the will of God. And let me say this, the issue is not who is your child going to marry, who is this going to that, what that, all that stuff is product of somebody walking in the Spirit. That you live right and obey the things you know, everything else will come in its way. Amen. But they are constantly being bombarded that God's way is not the best way, just like Satan did with Eve in the garden, that God's holding something from them, that you're holding something from them, that all the rules that God has, all the things that God has is to keep them from enjoying life, when truly the rules and the regulations, we'll call it that way, the law of God, are to help them to enjoy life later on. Amen. That's what it's about. Helping them not just enjoy the sin for a season, but for enjoy a lifetime of living for God. And we've got to pray for our young people that they can discern the will of God for their life with all the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding. I told our young people here a couple of weeks back, I the cat's out of the bag on them, the secret's out. And what I mean by that is this. You parents, it's all right. Church, it's all right to have a little bit of expectation with young people. They can walk with God.
Amen.
They can pray.
Right.
They can sing. They can teach Sunday schools. Yes. Amen. They are more than capable. And they can have spiritual understanding. Can I also say this? I know we're not going to let teens run our house. Teens, I know you didn't think I was going to let you talk about running the house tonight. I know you didn't think I was going to do that. But can I tell you this? Every once in a while, your teen can drop out a spiritual truth bomb that you'd be shocked come out of their mouth if they walk with the Lord. They need that spiritual understanding. Nurture that. Encourage that. Talk to them about what they're getting out of the Word of God. Teach them how to get something out of the Word of God. Walk with them. I wish they'd read the Bible. Read it with them. Amen. That's where they're going to discern the will of God for their life. So many people don't know what direction they're going. And simply this, I'm not saying that when they leave the youth group that they're going to know exactly what God's plan is for their life. But I do know this, they need to be able to discern the will of God for their life. There is a wrong type of person to marry and a right type of person to marry. There is a wrong job to pursue and a right job. Amen? Motives matter. Are we choosing this job for the money, or is it going to help me balance life and worship and service for the Lord? Amen. There's a difference to all of this. Helping discern the will of God. Could you begin to pray for these young people? I'm talking about right now. Right now, pray that they would discern the will of God for their life. There's something about knowing who you are and what God created you to do and why you're here that helps you orient and focus on the things of the Lord and live your life clearly. Amen. Amen. Many times I've had parents say things to me like this, well, we didn't get married in the will of God, and we just this and that, and how are we even supposed to support and guide them? Well, one, are you in the will of God right now?
Amen.
Amen. You can be in the will of God right now. If you're out of the will of God right now, you can be in the will of God before you leave this place.
Amen.
Amen. Don't let that, that's a lie from the devil to say you can't point somebody in the right direction. Amen. Life's lessons are great. Particularly if your young people don't have to learn them, you already learned it for them. Teach it to them and help them discern the will of God for their life. Amen. And these are very simple things. Next, what's the second thing we need to pray for? That they walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. Verse number 10. It's right here in the text. That you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Paul said, Colossian believers, new believers, I have a desire for you that you honor the Lord with your life. You please Him. The Bible tells us that we are here to please the Lord with our life. Amen. Jesus said, I always please my Father. I do what pleases my Father. And He said, my meat is to do the will of the Father. The Bible tells us that we are to please the Lord with our life. And I'm simply telling you this. This is where I go back to. I really don't care what our kids do as far as job-wise is concerned, as long as they please the Lord. Please the Lord. They please Him. The Bible tells us, and Paul told Timothy, he said, man, you can't get up and tangle with the affairs of this life if you're going to please the Lord. Amen? You can't do that. And would you begin to pray that even now, that this age, I won't give them out by names because there's so many of them, I forgot some of them right now. No, that's not there. But even right now, that these ones, and they're all throughout here, that would you pray specifically for the Lord, help them please you today? Do you believe in prayer? Paul did. Lord, I want them, Lord, help them please you today. And you know what will happen is you begin to intercede upon their behalf. The Lord will begin to work in their mind. A conviction will come in their life. And when they are tempted with something that is not pleasing to the Lord, Paul said you help us by prayer in 2 Corinthians. You've helped us out by prayer. You are giving these young people spiritual ammo that they don't have on their own right now. You are helping them. You might not think that. You might not believe. But I'm going to tell you right now, prayer is powerful. Prayer is real. And it does affect the way people live. And we help each other out through prayer. We fight spiritual battles with prayer. Somebody say amen. And so when you begin to help there and pray for these young people, yes, in a moment of decision that the Spirit of God would convict them, so they say, no, I got to please the Lord with my life. I'm thinking of a situation now that I was involved in, and mom and dad don't know about it. I probably won't tell them. They'll probably spank me for just being around it. Amen. At this time, they're still retroactive on the whoopings. Amen. I probably don't want to go there. But I remember I happened upon a situation, not looking for a situation, not looking to get into trouble, but a situation presented itself to me. A situation presented itself to me as a situation that would not have been pleasing to the Lord, and I'll get into the details, but the ramifications perhaps could have been great, but a situation that was not pleasing to the Lord. And I remember thinking in my mind as I'm there and I've had a valley of decision, so to speak, in the moment of decision, I got so convicted in my life of even being around the riotous eaters of flesh. Somebody say amen right there. I got so convicted of even being in that environment right there that I had such a heavy weight on my life. I felt like a bunch of bricks were on me, weighing me down, and I had to do one of two things. I had to give in or get out, and by the grace of God, I got out. I got out. I'm going to tell you something. That Sunday, somebody came up to me at my church. I never even told my mom and dad about this. Because if I'd have told them, they said, why, what's going on? Then I'd have to tell them something else. And that's not a great thing to do, by the way. But I wasn't looking into getting in any trouble, I'll be honest with you. And somebody came up to me and said, I don't know, I just had you in my mind on Friday. Prayed for you. It was my second grade teacher. My second grade school teacher. She had you on my mind on Friday. She interceded on my behalf. I don't know if I'd be standing here right now if she hadn't done that. I'm not pleased the Lord with everything, but that was a moment of decision that could have changed a lot of things. But somebody interceded for this old boy. You just don't know. You just don't know what they're facing. As my parents did a really good job of making sure I stayed out of trouble, I was scared to death of both of them, and I still am, but it was a small town. But I want to tell you something. Satan is more powerful than we are, and he can connive and connect and do all kinds of things. See, you cannot, I hate to tell you this, those of you that are trying the castle doctrine, you cannot protect your child from every situation, but you can intercede on their behalf and put a hedge of protection around them. Amen. That they walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing. Verse number 10, that they are fruitful in every good work. Fruitful in every good work. I hesitate to tell you this tonight, just because I do not ever want to seem like braggadocious with you. When I was in high school, God got a hold of me. Our preacher had been asking for our church to start a bus ministry. We have four or five buses. Our church used to have a huge bus ministry when I was a kid. That's where I learned how to do junior church and different things. We'd do all kinds of puppet shows, and it was huge and blah, blah, blah. Things happen, doesn't matter what. But our preacher had been asking and been asking and been asking and been asking for somebody to start the bus ministry. Nobody did. Nobody did. And the Lord got a hold of me. Said, you start it. Well, I'm 15 or 16. I can't remember if I'm even sure if I was driving. I think I was driving at that point. I don't know. So I went to our teens and I went to our youth group and I said, I think God wants to start the bus ministry. There's a little girl named Mandy. And Mandy, I don't remember her last name, but Mandy, she said, you know, God's been talking to me about that too, but I didn't want to. So we went to a youth group, and one Sunday morning we just plopped down in front of the whole church. I got the whole youth group. We all walked forward. I don't know if they thought there was an insurrection going or something going on right there. I said, we're here to we'll start the bus ministry. Well, there was a problem. We couldn't drive. That's a little bit difficult. I mean, there was no Uber, okay? And a fellow stood up in the back, one of the girls in the youth group, and he said, I'll drive the bus. And so we drove the bus. We started the bus ministry. And We did okay, and a little bit. I went off to college. This bus ministry is still growing, but I told our teens this morning, there was a little girl that rode that bus. Her name is Christina, and she was the first rider of the bus. I told them, and I'll tell you, I still remember what she was wearing. She was wearing Dean shorts, and she had a Powder Puff Girls t-shirt on. She had a little, I remember on Saturday, we went and visited her in that trailer park near our house, Mom and Dad. I went back there, and I remember visiting her, and she had a little blood on her. She just scraped her head. It wasn't abuse. And she just scraped her head. I remember on Sunday, seeing her, she still had that blood dried on her head, and I realized that she had nobody giving her a bath that night. And she's the only little girl that rode a bus that Sunday. She got the quiet prize. She got the most faithful rider. She got every, you know, she memorized the Bible verse, Jesus wept. She got it all. She got all of it. She came back next week, and our whole youth group, we went out. People took us out. That girl and that girl and that girl and that girl. She just only came. Then she started bringing a friend or two, then three or four. Before too long, we got that bus rolling, and that bus started getting filled, and I left, and that bus, I don't know what it got to. I don't think they ended up having three or four buses. That doesn't really matter at this point. The bottom line was this: some teenagers got fruitful. Last I heard, that little girl's still living for the Lord. She's not a little girl anymore. She's a young mother. I don't know where she's at today. I'm not telling you to brag. I'm just simply saying that God can use young people.
Amen.
Your young people are capable of being used of the Lord.
Right.
Yesterday, we got a phone call. We got a phone call yesterday morning, and I'll hasten. I'm almost done. We okay, amen. I'll just read the rest of these things. We got a phone call yesterday from some of our door knocking outreaches. And that's not always a good thing when you get a call on Saturday morning that somebody's been out knocking door. Nor is somebody telling you to get off our lawn or something like that. But it was somebody that said thank you for sending somebody by to care about souls, and that was a blessing. And man, I don't know who they were and whatnot, but I know where they were. And I know it was a group of our young people around there, and I believe it's some of our young people that knocked on their door. I'm simply saying this. Young people can be fruitful in the work of God.
Amen.
Parents, please do not wait until they're 25 to get them involved. Amen. Amen? It's too late. Now's the time. They can be fruitful in every good work. Verse number 10, let me keep you going here. We'll just read these things and we'll close tonight. That they grow in truly knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God. My early years of ministry, youth ministry particularly, I've been guilty of teaching kids about God, not so much teaching them how to know God. There's a difference. I want our young people to know Jesus. He said, but they're saved. That's not what I said. I said, know Him. Grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just because you get saved doesn't mean you know the Lord. You know Him a little bit. That's how you can grow. And my prayer is for every one of these young people. And I'm going to say this the right way. We're clubbing close to an end. That these young people, I'm going to say this the right way, but would you pray for this, that they develop a sincere love for the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That they would say, Christ, who is my life. Amen. I want to please Him. That He be real to them. He wouldn't simply be an idea or something that they understand, but they would love Jesus and worship Jesus and get to know the Lord and let God know them and praise the Lord. Would you pray for them that they truly grow in their knowledge of God? Know Him. Powerful. They can do it by the grace of God. I'll just read these and we'll be closing tonight. Would you pray for them that they learn to live in God's strength? Verse 11. Paul said, I want to pray that you're strengthened with all might according to His glorious power. Young people, I know we often talk about the good old days, but they were good old days. We didn't have to deal with the stuff you have to deal with. Look up here, please. We didn't have to deal with the stuff you have to deal with. I grew up in a small town in West Kentucky, and I'm sure there were different things going on, but I want to tell you, our community is growing up. It's probably changed now. I've been back there a long time, but our community respected God. We had a respect for the things of God. We had a respect for the men of God and the Word of God. Lost people watched how they talked around people. Lost people watched how they talked around women.
Amen.
They did. They watched it. They wouldn't say a bad word in front of a woman. We got Christian men who don't know any better than that now. But I'm going to tell you something. There was a respect for that. We didn't have all this stuff going on. I remember there was one murder in my hometown the whole time I grew up. One murder. It was shocking. We didn't have drug arrests. I'm sure they were. We just didn't see them. I didn't know anything about it. I didn't know what marijuana was. I didn't know a lot of this stuff. I didn't know anything about anything. I had to go to Bible college for them to teach me all about it. Amen. I mean, you had to learn how to deal with it. What's that? You know, a little country bump. I just didn't know. I didn't have internet. We had PBS, CBS, NBC, and ABC, and they only worked half the time anyway. So that's probably why I turned out halfway decent. Amen. But the bottom line is this. I didn't have to fight a lot of the battles that these young people are having to fight. I didn't have to sit there and deal with classmates who are already experiencing adulthood in ways they should not and trying to keep my purity. I didn't have a lot of that. So to fight these battles, they're going to have to be strengthened with the Lord's might. Not just you, Mom and Daddy, but they need it. They need it. Would you pray that they learn to live in God's strength? Would you pray that they truly live to learn to live in the joy of the Lord? Verse number 11. Strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long suffering with what? Joyfulness. The Bible says the joy of the Lord is his strength. Amen. I would tell you this much, and I can't brag on it, that's for sure. Part of my personality. But if I was anything, I was at least always laughing about something. Not always at the right time and at the right place and on the right thing. But I will tell you this much. If there's anything that sustained me in my own personal life, it's been the joy of the Lord. And I learned that from other Christians. I saw that in other Christians. I said, I want that. I want that. As I watched that dear Granny Sue, that dear woman who watched me and fixed me chocolate pies and loved on me like a grandmother's, I watched her waste away from cancer and cancer began to eat away at her face and go up in that hospital room and go up there to be a blessing. We'd go up and visit her and her face literally began to disappear and she'd pray for us and she'd love on us and she'd praise Jesus. And I said, man, oh man, that's something real right there. That's something real right there. That's real religion. I'm going to use the word. That's real worship, amen? Would you pray these young people know that the joy of the Lord is better than the pleasure of the devil? Sin is pleasurable for a season, but the heartache is, hey, it lasts a lot longer than that. And they learn to live in the joy of the Lord. The Bible says that it has at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. And you get in God's presence, you get the peace of God and the joy of God. And there is nothing like living for the Lord. They truly learn to live in the joy of the Lord. And I'll close with this one, verse number 12. Let's look on. Let's all stand and we'll be closing tonight.